Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosro Shahi.
Shaheed Muhammad Baqir al-Sadr. He was born in Kadhimiya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahrudin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. Well, welcome to another episode of the program, The Teacher, an introduction into the life and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and fuqaha during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two very special guest speakers, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
So for today's discussion, we want to talk about Sayyid Muhammad Said Habbubi, one of the leaders of jihad of Iraq against Britain forces, and the person who issued or gave jawaz or permission of establishing new schools in the city of Baghdad in Iraq for teaching foreign languages. So his life would be very much interesting. Before getting to the most important aspect of his scholarly life, sociopolitical life, let's be more familiar with Habbubi and his early biography. Sheikh, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sayyid Muhammad Said Habbubi, he was not only a great faqih and jurist or a scholar, but also he was a poet as well, a literary yes. figure. And well, the interesting point about his life is this, that among his teachers, we see Mullah Hussein Quli Hamidani, Mirza Habibullah Rashti, and Sayyid Murtaza Razavi Kashmiri. And also among the students and disciples of this great scholar, we see Mar'ayatullah Marashi Najafi and Sayyid Mohsin Hakim, who were, of course, the great scholars after this great scholar, I think. And about the life, the early life of this great scholar, we should say that Habbubi was born in Najaf. And he was one of the offsprings of the Imam Hassan alayhi salatu wassalam. So he was a Sayyid among the offspring of Imam Hassan al-Mujtaba alayhi salatu wassalam. And of course, as it was mentioned, he was one of the great, let's say, social activists against the, let's say, invasion of Iraq by the let's say, the Britain power.
That's right.
Britishers, and that's why he issued fatwa against them fatwa of jihad against them. This is the very important aspect of his life, I mean, political aspect of his life that could be mentioned.
That's right. We will get, of course, to more details about his political life. Before that, let's be more familiar with the concept of jihad. Say, Sheikh Fadai, they say that Habbubi is among the leader or the generation of the leaders who issued the fatwa of jihad against the Britain or British forces in Iraq. Also, he was concerned, for example, with the invasion to Libya by the Italians. And he was concerned all in all with the socio-political affairs of the Muslim lands and Islamic lands in general. So an important role for a Muslim scholar, isn't it?
Okay. Some people think that in Islam, we have two aspects. One of them is religious aspect, and the other one is material aspect. And jurists, Islamic scholars, shouldn't interfere in the material aspects of life. And jurists, faqih, always should think about science, I don't know, about moralities, and they shouldn't interfere in any aspects of this material life. And it is not a correct viewpoint, as secularism claims that religion should be aside and should interfere in our life. Our great scholars were not like that.
Mm-hmm.
Besides teaching and learning, always they consider all aspects of people's life and they care about that. For example, in Iraq, after the First World War starts in 1914, They invaded Iraq, yes. British armies, and they tried to overcome all the parts of Iraq. Of course, at that time, the name of Iraq was not used like that. Yes, it was not a country like this. It was one of the parts of Ottoman kingdom.
Yes.
But the point that we want to mention is the real Islam is a political and social religion. It's not just individual religion. Jihad is that.
Yes.
Jihad means if your enemy want to invade you, want to take your life, want to take your dignity, you shouldn't just sit in your house doing nothing and claim that you are a real Muslim. If you are a real Muslim, there are a lot of rules for that. The scholar that we're talking about, Sayyid Muhammad Habboubi,
yes.
as a great and real scholar, recognized that duty,
yes.
that he should stand in front of the invader. So this is the real meaning of jihad. Jihad is not something which is written in the books, and there isn't any activity toward that
yes.
in our society. So we can understand that real Islam, we can feel real Islam in our life when it is social and political. Call Islam, unless this is not a religion.
Yes.
Religion can cover all the aspects of people's life, whether individual aspect or social aspect.
That's all right. That's all right. This is the real role that the Mujahids had. You know, so sometimes when we are reading out the history of, for example, Islamic Republic of Iran and the late Imam Khomeini, some people might think that so the late Imam Khomeini was the first one who was politically active, mm-hmm. okay? But so generations before him, yes. from among the scholars, they were also concerned with the foreign powers' interference in the affairs of the Muslim lands, the independence of Islamic lands, ruling of the Islamic lands by Muslim leaders, okay? These are all the concerns for Muslims, including Sayyid Habboubi.
And of course, there are some differences between yes. the how Imam Khomeini acted yes, yes. and how the previous ones acted.
Yes.
But the...
Or for example, a government was established or not.
Yeah.
But at least they were concerned.
The common point yes. is that our jurists, our scholars were concerned for
yes. The city of Nasiriyah was one of the places that Sayyid Habboubi was very much active, you know, against the British forces of organizing the tribes and the people against the foreign powers, up to an extent that even today you could see, for example, the statue of Sayyid Habboubi in Nasiriyah as a person or an example of resistance against oppression in that city.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
La ilaha illallah.
So, Sheikh Rouhani, let's get to you now, brother, about the role in jihad in Iraq. Also, he was concerned with the, for example, Italian forces invading Libya as a Muslim land at that time. So this shows a great position of Sayyid Habboubi, isn't it?
Yes, of course. As you know, if we go back to the history, we see that, for example, the Britishers or the British force invaded many areas, many lands across the globe.
Yes.
Like Australia, like Canada, like some part of the Africa.
Yes.
You know, what they did with the poor people of Australia or Canada or the other people, other nations, then we understand that how much important was the role of ulama and the scholars in this area, particularly the like Sayyid Habboubi, when they actually started, or let's say, issued fatwa against the invaders to defend, to protect their own people, their own country, their own nation, and their own beliefs and culture.
Yes.
I think when we look at the history from this perspective, I mean, if we focus on the role of ulama and scholars, from this perspective, we see that it was really, really significant. It was really, really crucial and important role that was played by these great scholars,
Otherwise, for example, had these foreigners succeeded to invade, for example, these areas, they would have done whatever they could, as they did with the other nations. Mm-hmm. But alhamdulillah, by the virtue of the presence of these kind of scholars, like Sayyid Habbubi and many other scholars, alhamdulillah, the people and this civilization, yes, Islamic nation, Islamic ummah, they were saved, yes, and they were protected against these invaders. Mm-hmm. I think that's why the role of these great scholars, these great ulama, is really significant in the history.
That's right. Again, we could see that the type of jihad that they were after is very much different from the type of jihadist look in the extremist form that we see, for example, in the ISIS format or Al-Qaeda or something, because they call themselves Mujahid too. But this type of jihad was for the independence of Islamic lands against the foreign powers. But unfortunately, we saw that, for example, ISIS was funded by the Western powers. In so many documents that are, we can say, available, we could see that. Sayyid Habbubi was also famous for issuing fatwa or giving a permission or jawaz for establishing, for example, schools or new schools in Baghdad teaching foreign languages. This might be very much interesting, Sheikh Fadai, isn't it?
As we know, Islam is an international and world religion.
Yes.
And we believe that our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last prophet, and his religion was the last one, and not just last, the most complete one. Mm-hmm. So if we believe and claim that this is the most complete and the last religion, so we have to spread this religion all over the globe. So how is it possible? If we don't care about learning religion and spreading this learning languages and spreading this religion, yes, to other countries, so this goal cannot be achieved. One of the main and first steps to spread a religion and belief in other countries is language. As we can see, our enemy, always they've been doing that.
Yes.
They have a lot of people,
yes,
who learn languages of other countries,
yes,
and then they start to spread and contribute their...
Or invade culturally the other lands, the Muslim,
yeah,
lands, that's right.
By the means of media, and mm-hmm, now we can say, for okay, example, in Iran, we speak in Persian,
yes,
but we have Iran International and we have Persian BBC.
Yes.
They live there, but they have media by, mm-hmm, our language.
Okay.
So how...
We can say favorite language,
yes,
on whom the different channels and networks are established is the Persian one.
And their government, yeah, pay all the costs.
Yes,
of that.
The funds, they're funded,
so
yes.
How is it possible that we can see our enemies are doing that,
yes,
but we don't want to do that? Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, even nowadays in our house, some scholars and some students, they don't believe in that.
Uh-huh.
They may think that it's none of our business to learn other languages.
Other languages. That's right.
Because it is fair and it's based on Arabic. No, it's an incorrect idea.
Yes.
And as we can see, like Ayatollah Habbubi, at,
yes,
that time, you know, at that,
yes,
time,
yes, yes,
it was so strange to think about other languages. So because it was not a new idea.
Mm-hmm.
It is the idea which was invented by our Prophet. Our Prophet had a lot of people sent,
yes,
to other countries.
Yes, yes.
So why don't we think about that?
Yes.
How is it possible when Prophet sent someone to other country, it means that someone here knew another language.
That's right.
So some bilingual person existed there. So this is international preaching. And after that, in the time of our Islamic Revolution, we could see that Imam Khomeini, at the beginning of this government, he focused and concentrated on this.
Yes.
We have a sentence from Imam Khomeini.
Yes.
He said that learning languages should be in the seminary schools, all seminary schools.
That's right.
That's 50 years ago.
Yes, yes.
So it is so important because our religion is international.
That's
it is
right.
A duty for our scholars.
Even nowadays, Ayatollah Khamenei has talked about jihad tabiin,
yeah,
or jihad for clarification. One important step is important, clarifying your message and the true message of Islam in different languages, okay? So, as you said, people like Habbubi were the forerunners, were the pioneers in this field. That was very much great. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani, okay, for a nice elaboration regarding the socio-political and the religious life of Sayyid Muhammad, Sayyid Habbubi, one of the leaders of jihad against British forces in Iraq. It was very kind of you. Finally, he passed away in 1333 at the Iraq. His body was taken into the holy city of Najaf, and he was buried in one of the main courtyards of the holy shrine of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even the Ottoman empires admired his role in defending the independence of Islamic Iraq and the land of Iraq on that time. Thank you very much, Sheikh. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah. علم